Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, you ready to pray? Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. And thank you again for the great privilege of gathering in the name of Jesus Christ and fellowshipping with brothers and sisters. We really are blessed, Father. And I thank you for weaving this family together. And Father, thank you for the privilege of coming to the throne through Jesus Christ to find help in time of need. And Father, we want to continue to pray, God, because we know that you hear us and that you're always working things out for the good of those that love you. And we want to pray, Father, that you'll continue to bless Sierra. Father, we thank you for the good report that she was doing well this week. And we pray, Father, you'll continue to heal her and give her body strength and energy. And Father, we want to continue to pray for Audrey Brink. Father, we pray that you will provide a place for her to get the rehab that she needs. And God, we know that you are able to do that. We know you can put her in a place that's best for her. And so we trust you, Father, to give what is needed. And Father, we thank you for blessing Clarissa with a new car. And we just thank you again for keeping her safe through that whole situation. We want to lift up Holly that was mentioned. God, she has some issues going on with her dog, and it's causing some a lot of emotions. And we just pray, God, that you will comfort her and just help Holly to think about you, God, and to trust you with her cares and to lean on you for all that she needs. And Father, we want to pray for Derek. We pray, Father, that his leg will heal quickly, but we pray, Father, that it'll heal properly. And we just pray you'll give him the care that he needs. We pray for Miss Chris, Lord, that you will relieve the pain that's in her knee, keeping her from even walking. We pray for healing for her. And we also want to pray for John, Lord, who not only already had a lot going on, but this just adds to it. And we pray you'll bless him, God, with strength and peace through it all. And Father, we thank you again. Thank you for hearing us when we call. And thank you for doing more than we can even ask for or even think to ask for. And Father, thank you again for giving us time to look into your word. Your word, it's truth. Your word, it's alive and powerful. And I just pray, Lord, you'll speak to us this morning as we read and study. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're in Proverbs chapter 4. The section we're working on is 10 through 19. Proverbs 4, 10 through 19. And we'll just read it all again so we have it all together. And then we'll start where we left off last week. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Could he be more clear about that? For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So we did a good chunk of this last week. We talked about the fact that there's only two paths to life. There's as he mentioned, there's the way of wisdom and there's the way of wickedness. And we saw that that's a consistent theme through the whole Bible. There's the way of the wicked and there's the way of the godly. Jesus said there's the narrow path that leads to life and there's the broad way that leads to destruction. That's where last week I kind of got off track talking about Broadway and all the lights and the noise and how the world makes a big deal out of the wrong path. All the lights are shining there. All the noise and the shouting is there. The narrow path is narrow because it's just one person. It's Jesus Christ. And everything else is on the wide path. And that doesn't matter what people say. There's a way that seems right to a man. You know, the devil's been lying a long time now. And he's pretty good at it. And he's able to deceive people into creating their own realities. And even though the way may seem right to them, the Bible says the end of it is death. But we know that Jesus Christ is the only way to life. We talked about listen and apply. Hearing and receiving is listening and applying wisdom. Your years will be many. How many is many?
All of them.
All of them. See, the wisdom of God is to lead us to eternal life. That's what that's about. And walking in wisdom doesn't happen by accident. Doesn't happen by accident. Doesn't happen by osmosis. You gotta take the time to read and study, pray, apply it to your life. Verse 11, I taught you in the way of wisdom. I led you in right paths. We talked about how God leads by example. God never asked us to do anything he doesn't do himself. When he tells us to lay down our lives, the example is Jesus laid down his life for us. He tells us to humble ourselves. The example is Jesus humbling himself and going all the way to the cross. Hypocrites aren't like that. Hypocrites will say one thing and do another. We went through a very harsh sermon by Jesus last week about that, didn't we? Sometimes it's hard to read. People don't think Jesus talked that way, calling people out like that. But we also are to lead by example. We're to give people a godly example to follow. As Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He also said in Philippians, brethren, join in following my example. Note those who also follow my example and follow them. All right. Oh, and then we did verse 12. We looked at scriptures in 2 Peter. It talks about not stumbling. If you're pursuing wisdom, if you're pursuing faithfulness, if you're growing in love, growing in your knowledge of God, right, you won't fall. That's what Peter said. Okay, today, verse 13. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. The reason reading your Bible is so important is God is instructing us on how to live life. So that the Word does. That's what my goal was preaching this morning. Right? To use God's Word to instruct people how to live life. God wants to teach us that. There's nowhere else to get it. You know, God wants to teach you wisdom so that you can live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that that the Bible has everything we need to live a godly life. You don't have to go outside of the Bible to learn to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Remember, we've compared this. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands this. We're talking about wisdom, but in doing so, we're talking about Jesus. Because Jesus is wisdom. The Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. We're talking about eternal life. Jesus is our life. So when we're talking about these things, we're talking about Christ. The scriptures in the New Testament tell us that everything was pointing to Him. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God." Jesus is wisdom from God. Remember we read that the wisdom that we're talking about is the same wisdom that God used to create the heavens and the earth. It's the same wisdom because Jesus is the creator. Yeah, it's the same wisdom. Colossians 3:4 I wrote down. I didn't look at this much this week because I had a busy week. Colossians 3:4 When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Do not let go. Keep her. She is your life. Keeping wisdom, okay? If you keep wisdom, the Bible says wisdom will keep you. Keep wisdom, and wisdom will keep you. Verse 14 says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. There's six calls here in verse 14 and 15 to avoid the path of evil. Do not enter it. Do not walk in it. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. And go somewhere else. I don't know how he could be any more clear. If you were talking like that to your child, they might roll their eyes. Like, okay, I get it. I get it. Growing in wisdom, you have to learn to catch this stuff early. Catch this stuff early before you start walking a direction you shouldn't walk. The word I like to use is trespassing. Okay? You may not have done anything yet. Okay? But you're just in a place you should not be. A place that's dangerous. A place you know, because we all know our things. You know that this is a place you shouldn't be, because this is a place you'll stumble. That's trespassing. And trespassing is sin. You're not supposed to even go that direction. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says we're to avoid every appearance of evil. You don't want to do anything that even makes it look like you're doing something bad. Avoid every appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from every form of evil. This is why it's so important that you choose your friends carefully. You have to choose your friends carefully. You have to choose your entertainment carefully. We want to be faithful witnesses to people. No doubt. We want to interact with people so that we can shine a light into their life and speak truth into their life. But you have to know where the line is, okay, to where you are staying on your path and reaching out, okay, instead of stepping over into their path to try to get them. That will not work. We're not to have any fellowship with the works of darkness. Not to have any fellowship with the works of darkness. You are to avoid it. Actually, the rest of that verse says to expose it. Let me read here. Ephesians 5:11-12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret.
Because it opens the door.
Yeah, don't even talk about that stuff with people. I just heard a thing. There's a big hubbub going on. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. With this guy named Mark Driscoll. Anybody? I keep up with all this stuff. It's a whole mess. The whole thing's a mess. But anyway, the issue that I want to share with you is there was someone showed a video from Mark Driscoll's past where he was preaching. And he said he had a vision. God gave him a vision of something. And he went on to describe the whole thing in detail. Too much detail. He was exposing or talking about something a woman had done. And he was explaining it in detail in front of the whole church. It was nasty. Yeah. Ugly.
God wouldn't give him that.
Yeah, God would never give him that. Because the Bible says you're not even supposed to talk about that stuff. There's a much better way. And you know what? Temptation can even come if you're reading a news story about something that happened. I mean, you just have to be careful about this stuff because you get details or a story about something that gets into your heart and mind, and it can mess with you. You have to be careful even speaking about things. Yeah, it can torment you. It's like a barb in your soul. You got to be careful even talking about stuff that's wicked, because it can be a temptation.
The Lord used that scripture in my life when a long time ago. But when my husband left me, and there were lots of horrible things going on, and I kept repeating it to my friends, and the Lord took me to that scripture and showed me, you are tormenting yourself with something that you can't do anything about. Mm. And so once I realized that I shouldn't be repeating those things, I found God's peace in that situation.
Also in 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Fellowship. Avoid fellowship with the works of darkness, the actions. Avoid making people who are not following Christ your closest relationships, because they will pull you away. You, in order to interact with them properly, you have to bring them your direction. You have to bring them your direction to a place where you're safe. You can't go do it their way to try to reach them. That will not work.
And if you ain't sure that you can handle it, stay away from it.
Don't do it. And you know why this is so important? Because of what the next section tells us in Proverbs 4. It says, they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away from them unless they make someone fall.
Mm-hmm. Do they sometimes not realize they're being used like that?
Sure. Well, they don't think it's bad.
No, right.
They don't think it's bad. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they have an agenda to try to bring you down. Yes, they can, but it can happen without. Because wicked people can be deceived, right?
Yeah.
So they can be, but this is why it's so dangerous. And he's talking in the extremes here, because what he's saying is these people have become evil. I read this word when I was studying. Evil-holics. They're evil-holics because it says they eat it, they drink it, and they can't sleep till they do.
Yeah.
Addicted to evil. They can't live without it.
And then they believe their own lies. They start believing it.
Sure. Justifying.
Controlling.
Yep. Jesus said something similar, but it's completely opposite. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of God, in John 4:34. There's only three things you're missing in the world, okay? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You don't need to go out and check it out, test it, try it, see if you can do it. The world is passing away, and you don't need to go anywhere near it. 1 John 2:15-17. The Bible says, 1 John 2:15-17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that doesn't mean you don't love people, right? It means you don't love the world and its anti-Christian system. Because here's what the description of the world is in the next verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, seen that around you anywhere? The lust of the eyes, materialism, sexual immorality, materialism, and the pride of life. So for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. That's all the world has to offer you. And I know from firsthand experience, before I was a Christian, that was life. That was it. And it was completely unfulfilling. It's empty, and then it's death.
I probably shouldn't say this, but...
If you say that before you say something
else. I know. Okay, I won't use any names. Somebody I know just had a change, really found God, and was talking to his brother, and he's like, you just have no idea what this is. This is so wonderful for me. I just can't get any higher. And his brother said to him, I know, I've been there. And he said, no, you haven't. And he said, yeah, I have. I've done every drug I can do to get back to that. And there's nothing like God.
Wow. So as I was studying this, I remembered reading in Genesis the Dinah incident. Do you guys remember the Dinah incident? Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Genesis 34, verse 1, the Dinah incident. Wow, there's a lot here. Just started thinking about some things. Okay, Genesis 34, verse 1. Now Dinah, you know Jacob had 12 sons. He had a daughter. This is Dinah. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had born to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. Just stop there for a second. In what we're talking about here with the world, okay? You don't need to go. You don't need to go test it out and see what you're missing and see how the girls of the world or the guys of the world do it. Because the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to be violated. She wanted to go see how the girls of the land do it. And then, boy, did it create a mess. I mean, it's not her fault that she was raped. You know, I'm not trying to say that. But her first decision, like Liz mentioned, that she was trespassing. She shouldn't have gone that direction. And when I was just sitting here reading, waiting for you guys to turn there, I started thinking about my own kids. Your kids don't have to have a taste of the world to be socialized. I heard a comedian that he was talking about homeschooling his kid, and he said, people come up to me all the time and say, aren't you worried about their socialization? And he said, yeah, that's why we homeschool them. And I know, hey, I know people go through public school and they can do fine. All I'm just saying is your kids don't have to taste the world to find what? They don't have to do that to find what they're looking for. Uh-huh. We point them to Christ because we know Christ is our life. The wicked don't sleep until they make somebody stumble. They plan their evil on their beds. See, this is the difference when you talk about a Christian, right? People have the discussion, well, Christians still sin, right? They still sin. But here's the difference. When I was lost, I was planning my evil on my bed. Plotting out the evil for the next day. Plotting out the evil for the weekend. Scheming up in my heart and mind things I wanted to do to take advantage of people and to get what I wanted. That was my life before Christ. You see the difference? And now, in Christ, I've turned away from the way of evil, and my heart's desire is to do the will of God. And I think about that all the time. I'm plotting how I can be a better Christian. How I can be a better husband. Be a better father. Be a better witness. At work, all those things. That's the difference. These people are plotting evil on their bed. Let's see, I wrote some verses down about plotting evil on your bed. Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. This is why it's so important. You know, we put our trust in God. We don't put our trust in men. Psalm 36, verse 1 through 4. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed and sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Just planning it out. Evil-holics. But for us, as Jesus said in John 4:34, our food, our nourishment should be to do the will of God. That's where we find our satisfaction. You know, Jesus had said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Right? Whoever comes to me, he'll never hunger. And he'll never thirst. You don't need any of that anymore. Something else I was thinking about. The whole incident, but the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. Something else I learned a long time ago. You remember the master of the feast, when he tasted the water that had been turned to wine, remember? He said, normally, after the guests have drunk, the host brings out the inferior, right? But you have saved the best until now. And a long time ago, I read a sermon that was talking about that, how the world, this is what it does. Just like that guy said, the world takes you from good to worse, from better to bitter. But Jesus takes you from bitter to better. Jesus turns everything around. And no matter where we're at in our walk with Christ, the best is still yet to come.
Yes.
So saying all that to say, we want to stay on the right path. Avoid the wicked path. Don't need it. Let's stick to the ancient path. How about that? Here's a verse that would never be popular in today's culture, even today's Christian culture. This verse says, Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. I'll stick to the well-worn ancient path of those who have followed Christ by faith. They've walked that path before us. It's very well beaten down. You can step right in their footsteps and follow. The way everything is changing so fast. What people call progress today is not progress. It's going backwards. All right, verses 18 and 19. Let's finish her up. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. There it is. Brighter and brighter. As God leads us and teaches us the truth, helps us to walk in a way that pleases Him, the light shines brighter and brighter. And until the day where we will be in the glory. That light shines brighter as we take in God's Word. I put down a couple verses about that. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Psalm 119:105. You know this one. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." The light, just like the sun rising and heading toward noon, where it'll shine its brightest. The way of the wicked is the opposite. The way of the wicked is the opposite. They're like a shadow. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. See, I just read in Ecclesiastes, the last time I preached that, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 8:13, "But it will not be well with the wicked. But it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God." The life of the wicked is like a shadow. And as the sun is setting, it's the opposite, right? For the faithful, the sun is rising. For the wicked, the sun is setting, and their shadow is getting longer and longer until what? Until the sun sets, and they're in total darkness. But it's interesting, isn't it, that it says they do not know what makes them stumble.
That is interesting. That's what I want.
What, does it remind you of something somebody said? They do not know. Who said it?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The wicked don't realize how wicked they are.
That's right. They don't.
They don't realize it. In fact, we could walk the neighborhood here and talk to everybody and ask them if they're good or bad, and they would mostly say they're good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. That's where we come in. I remember last week I went off on that rant a little bit, but our main goal is not to just tell people God loves them. They need to understand why they need the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to confront them with the fact that they're a sinner that is lost and undone. You have to speak to their conscience. You can debate with them all day long and argue about all kinds of stuff, but you need to speak to their conscience and let them know that God says this is wickedness, and we've all done it. That's the only way they'll understand what Jesus did for them. They don't know it right now. Pretty much everybody's heard of Jesus. Most everybody's heard of Jesus, but they don't understand what He did for them and why. Okay, that's all I have for that.
Wow.
We have a couple minutes left.
No way.
We have a couple minutes left. But I wrote something down we could look into if you're interested, or if anybody else has any questions or anything, or if you just want to go. No questions?
Well, part of salvation is admitting your sin.
Yeah.
You have to confess your sin in order to be saved.
That's another thing people argue about, but the Bible is very clear. You have to repent.
Yes.
Yeah, you... And people get mad. I love watching Ray Comfort videos of him witnessing to people on the street. I should watch Living Waters on YouTube as he witnesses to people. But a guy came up to confront him and called him a false teacher because he teaches repentance. And he's like, "What?" He said, "The Bible says you only have to believe." And Ray didn't argue with him. He said, "Can I finish up here?" And the guy turned and walked away. But then he showed all the scriptures in the New Testament that say you have to repent. You have to turn from sin to follow Christ.
Yes.
You can't keep living in sin and say you believe in Jesus. That's not, thank you, Susan, that's not salvation. Mm-hmm. Salvation is dying to that stuff and living for Christ. Confessing. Confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. And confession means agreeing with God. Agreeing that you're wrong and He's right. And you're going to do it His way now. Yeah.
I have one question. So I know that we repent and, you know, God forgives us. But you know how your life, your walk with Christ, everyone's is different, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're further along than somebody who's just accepted mm-hmm. Christ. So if somebody is living in sin, they've accepted Christ, but they're living in sin, and like, where would they go if they, you know what I mean? Like, their progress isn't as far. They don't know, like, right. Sexual immorality, yeah. You know?
Well, God doesn't bless disobedience. I mean, so it will hinder them.
Even
a person not getting baptized, you know, can hinder them. Because you have to do these things that God clearly asks you to do so that you can move forward. But yes, a new believer can be in sin. What was the rest of the question? Sorry, I got lost there.
No, that's kind of like what I'm asking. Like, if somebody that hasn't, like, they don't know all that is wrong yet.
Yes.
But they've accepted Christ.
Yes.
If God was to come back, like, would they still enter heaven and just be not crowned for that sin that they've done?
Well, God won't expect anything out of people that they can't give Him right at the moment. But He knows their heart. See, that's the type of judging we're not supposed to do, right? You can't.
We don't condemn.
You can't condemn them because you don't know their heart. But yeah, they're being disobedient, and that does happen a lot. Especially you brought up the whole living in sin thing. That happens a lot. But if they do love God, right, and they are pursuing Christ, they won't stay there.
Mysteries will be revealed.
Yeah, they won't
stay there. Encourage them to come to church, right, to get into a Bible study. To read the word, so they know, so they're convicted.
And if you're given the opportunity to come to them in love and show them, if they choose to stay there and they don't want to, maybe it's just lip service, you know.
Thank you. They won't stay there. It's the same with lots of things. Like we talk about Catholics, right? And there's a lot of stuff wrong with what happens in the Catholic Church, right? But people can get saved because the word of God goes forward and doesn't return void, right? So people can get saved, and if they do and they grow, I don't think they'll be able to stay there. Right? They'll start to recognize, if they read their Bible and they're praying, and they'll start to recognize some wisdom. Yeah.
And you know, the Bible does speak to, like, whenever a couple is married and one comes to Christ and the other is not yet, the Bible says to remain in whatever situation you're in when God calls you.
Yeah.
But then, in another place, it reminds us to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
Mm-hmm.
So as we work those together, it's like you're saved, but you're judged by what you know. Not like Corey said, you're whatever God judges you, and if he dies in front of that person, God goes to heaven right away. It's your judgment on the life that you had. You can't be judged. He won't judge you for something you want to wear again. Now, if you knew, like they were saying, if you knew and you didn't choose Christ, you chose your sin, then that separates you more from God that you just chose. And nobody can really judge their heart. Only God can really have it. We encourage them.
But God won't leave you there. If you're pursuing Him, He won't leave you there. Mm-hmm. It happened with us. I mean, we were living together way back in the day. It's a long time ago now. But God made it very clear we were wrong and He was right, and we fixed it.
Something about something burning and you saw a woman and
I did. That woman said to me, God knows your heart, and we were burnt. We were in flames. And I got up in the morning and said, We gotta go to the courthouse. We took care of that. I think I had an ear infection, and I was at Rock Valley College. I had to turn in a paper. I had an ear infection, and we went to the courthouse after turning the paper.
Mm, that's
cool. Get it done. I'm not staying here any longer. It's fornication. Fornication, because I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. And I know when people live together what's going on. I don't care what they say. And you're not only supposed to do that with your wife. So, fornication. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Father, it's always a blessing to be in your word. And I thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ. They're so encouraging, and I pray you will bless them and their families. And Lord, help them to do all the difficult things that lay before them. Help us, God, to avoid the path. Help us to avoid it, turn away from it, and not even look that direction. So we can just keep living a life that gets brighter and brighter as we follow you. Father, please continue to bless this day. Please bless the service. It's about to start. Please bless the service tonight. Please use them, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.